I can't talk either. I'm all flustered.
I said Sisquatch like 3 times.
Sisquatch. It's the Sisquatch. The spooky science Sisquatch.
I'm Paige.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Spooky Science Sisters.
Hello, I am Megan.
And I'm Paige.
And welcome to episode 6 of Spooky Science Sisters. Hard to believe that we've been doing this for...
3 months?
3 months? Yeah. Is it 3 months? Every 2 weeks for... That's 12 weeks. Yeah, it's 12 weeks. Holy crap. Yeah, hard to believe that we've been doing this.
Fucking shit. God. Sorry. It's like right next to my window. It scared the shit out of me.
Okay, everybody. This is going to be a little bit of a weird episode because I've got some background noise happening. There's like a thunderstorm rolling around outside. So there's going to be thunder potentially. And Paige has fireworks going off outside of her window that right before we started recording scared the shit out of us. So
it's going to be a noisy one.
Yes. So if you hear some like unexpected booming and us swearing in response, that is why. Okay. So episode 6. Holy shit. We've been doing this for 3 months. And this week we are going to talk about Bigfoot, which I'm very excited about. But first, like we always do, we're going to do something spooky. So Paige, did anything spooky happen to you in the last 2 weeks since we recorded last?
Not that I can think of. I think I've had another boring couple of weeks other than the fireworks that just scared the crap out of me. So
yeah, that is your something spooky.
As soon
that
as we
scared
get
me
on,
too.
Yeah, it's very loud. It's like right outside of the window. So yeah, that, I guess that's my something spooky for the week because nothing else really happened.
And it really sounded like something loud had crashed or fallen in your place. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, this is it. The demon is here to take Paige. We're about to record
it's
it.
Time.
Most popular podcast ever. Demon abduction of Paige. Yes. So
anything spooky happened to you this last couple weeks?
Well, not anything specific that happened, but, and I guess it's kind of related to you as well. The ladies at Haunted AF, which is another great podcast, they shared our first Skinwalker Ranch episode with their Twitter followers, and someone listened to it and commented on it. Another podcast called Oh Girl Podcast, which I love that title, they listened to it and commented about the new me imaginary friend story, saying that really freaked them out. That they wanted to hear more about that. But they said that they pictured it as, so Paige and her brother, my husband, Steve, have always spelled it new me, as in like a new person, N-E-W-M-E. But this person said that they pictured it as new me, as in like, oh, you knew me, K-N-E-W-M-E. As in, this is somebody who died who knows the family and is now connected to the family and communicating with them. And that freaked me out, man.
Yeah, that might actually be scarier than new me, N-E-W me.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because that means something. So I was totally freaked out by that. So I'm on high alert for
Numi to make an appearance.
For Numi to make an appearance, for Alice to start doing weird stuff. I don't know. I'm very freaked out. And I really thought that bang was Numi coming to get you.
Maybe it is. Maybe the fireworks are all just a cover up. I'd be in my door totally possible. Anyway, any minute.
Totally possible. And then the other thing that I wanted to mention, which not really spooky, just a coincidence, was that over the weekend, Steve and I traveled to a place called Bigfoot Beach State Park. So I thought that that was funny that that's where we ended up going, and we're recording an episode about Bigfoot this week. Although I think Bigfoot Beach State Park is named for a Native American. So it's not Bigfoot as in the cryptid Bigfoot.
I was going to say, did you choose it on purpose?
I did not. No, it just happened to be a good halfway point to meet at, and I just thought that it was cool that, yeah. So it wasn't on purpose. It was just a good meeting place. So we're going to, I guess, kind of take this episode in stages like we always do and talk through, well, what is Bigfoot, which most people already know the answer to, but then taking a look at some evidence that we have, or that people at least claim that we have, and how we might go about debunking some of that, or what the skeptics / scientific view might be on some of those lines of evidence. So yeah, so let's start with, what is Bigfoot?
So Bigfoot, or also known as Sasquatch in North America, is primarily seen or has been sighted most frequently in the Pacific Northwest, though it has made appearances, or people have claimed to see it, in other areas of North America. It's also in other regions, specifically the Himalayan region, consider the abominable snowman or Yeti. So if you've heard either of those, it's kind of all the same thing.
Okay. So Bigfoot is what people in the paranormal community, and I'm not sure if it's, I don't know, more widely called this, but it's called a cryptid, which are, I don't know, mythical, paranormal-based animals. Not your standard animal, I guess. I didn't really look up a definition for cryptid. Did you?
Yes. So it's specifically an animal that has been, like, people claim to have, like, seen, or that there have been sightings of, but that there's no actual evidence that it exists.
Oh, so it's like cryptic. There's only cryptic evidence that it exists.
Yeah, so like a Loch Ness monster Sasquatch.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, good. I'm glad you looked up the definition. But I guess in my opinion, Bigfoot's a fun one for us to cover first in terms of cryptids, and there are a lot of them. Some much more fantastical. But it's a fun one because it's probably, in my eyes, the most likely one to actually exist. And even the primatologist, Jane Goodall, has said that she wouldn't rule them out as being a possibility. So it's like, even Jane Goodall thinks, you know, there could be Bigfoot.
He could be out there.
I can't talk either. I'm all flustered.
I said Sisquatch like 3 times.
Sisquatch. It's the Sisquatch. The spooky science Sisquatch. Yeah. Okay. So Bigfoot is a cryptid. There's only cryptic evidence for it. We don't have like real hard evidence. Most importantly, we don't have a body. But I think of these, it's probably the most likely one to exist because we have past examples of similar creatures. And in this case, similar primates or similar hominids. So we're Homo sapiens, but we are part of the hominid family group. Do you remember?
Oh, dear. Hominid family, I think.
Let's look it up. Yep, we're family. So there have been examples of other hominids, which are part of the same family. And then from there, you can get more specific genus, ours is Homo, and then species, ours is sapiens. So we're Homo sapiens, and there have been other other family members that were related to over time, and some that are pretty pretty recent. And basically everyone who talks about what Bigfoot is, a lot of it comes down to, and I don't know if you ran into this page, but a lot of it comes down to evolution, and that Bigfoot is one of these other hominids or some sort of large primate that's sort of a remnant of some evolutionary branch that has survived and somehow, you know, avoided detection up until now and is still around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's good, since we're a science podcast, but just to talk about some misconceptions with evolution. So a lot of what you see is when people talk about evolution or you see it represented in popular culture, it's like you go from the little creature crawling out of the water and then it eventually stands up and gets gradually more human-like until it's just a straight line. But in reality, evolution is more like a branching tree. So again, we have several related branches to us that are also hominids that are part of the same family that have evolved. And humans and, you know, Bigfoot, if it happens to be real, are what have survived the ages and made it through until modern day. So, do you want to talk about some examples?
First, yeah, I'll talk about Gigantopithecus. Gigantopithecus is an extinct genus of ape. So it's an ape that existed for, it sounds like 6 to 9 million years, though it kind of depends on, I think, where you read. Like where you, because I think some of the information's different based off where you get it. But this was, like I said, an ape who was from like the, from Southeast Asia. And he's closely related to the orangutan. He's a big guy, so they think that he stood as high as about 10 feet tall. And I read that in a couple places that he was about 440 to 660 pounds, but I also read somewhere that he would have been up to 500 kilograms, which is like 1,100 pounds.
Got it. I had read 10 feet tall up to 595 pounds. And the important thing to note here is that there is a lot of uncertainty because they've never actually found a whole specimen. So we've only found jaws and a whole bunch of teeth. So they've like reconstructed these whole skeletons from just bits.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like they don't have like a femur bone or anything like that. They don't have something that would really give them any idea of how big this thing could have been.
Yeah. Well, or how actually big.
Yeah. And I read a couple different areas, and I think it was in that the Wild Thing podcast as well, that like teeth and your jaw is really more of indication of what your diet is, not so much of how big you are. So, you know, while he may have had like a, I keep referring to it as he, I don't know why. why Giganto or while Gigantopithecus may have had this like, you know, large jaw, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he was actually 10 feet tall. I did read, which I just thought was funny, I wanted to mention that apparently when the teeth were first found, that they were like being sold off as dragon bones.
Yeah, I had heard that too, that they were selling them as dragon teeth, which is crazy.
And then I think they just like eventually made their way to somewhere. And that's when they kind of studied them and realized that Gigantopithecus was the owner of these teeth. But I just thought it was funny that initially they were selling them off as dragon bones.
So Gigantopithecus is closely related to modern day orangutans, but it died out. And you're right. I think the estimations of when it lived are a little bit uncertain, but it died out somewhere around 100,000 years ago. And I think I had heard even up to like 200,000 years ago is when they were around or last around. So that sounds like a long time. But you have to consider that us, so Homo sapiens, have been around since about 250,000 years ago. So we existed at the same time as Gigantopithecus, and we didn't even make it out of Africa until probably about 70,000 years ago. So, you know, 100,000 years ago sounds like a long time, but especially as a geologist, that's like, that's nothing. We've been around for such a small amount of time. And like I said, you've got this branching evolutionary tree that is branching out into to form, you know, all these different apes, which eventually evolve into this different, this family of these different hominids. So that includes what everybody is familiar with, like Neanderthals, the Denisovians, and I think there were others as well. Like, I think Lucy is some sort of stepping stone on that chain from apes. Lucy was that the skeleton that was found in, I think, in Africa. But we've had kind of these other hominid, I don't know, cousins around, up to the Denisovians, could have survived up until about a little over 14,000 years ago. Neanderthals died out around 30,000 years ago. And there's some evidence, you know, people say like, oh, well, we killed them all and we're what's left. But what they found is they've started doing these big, you know, DNA projects, and they've found traces of Neanderthal DNA in our DNA signatures today. So like we were either killing them all or we were getting busy and, you know, incorporating them into our family trees. But anyway, so those are our two options. And I think some people will argue that Bigfoot is closer to us, or that it is a remnant of this Gigantopithecus, so this very large ape that somehow has survived and has escaped, you know, escaped detection in any sort of scientifically valid way until now.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
If Bigfoot were real, which one would it be?
Yeah.
I guess I would lean more towards an undiscovered or remnant hominid somewhere really close to humans, just because they were around so much more recently and we actually mated with them. So it just seems like that would be the most likely to have survived until now. What do you think?
I'm not really sure why I feel like the Gigantopithecus one is more, plausible. I don't really know why, though, to be honest with you.
Well, I guess the thing other going than, for Jake, go ahead.
I would say other than the fact that, like, I don't know, it wasn't that long ago that they were around. And
no, I know. And that was the point that I was making, is that in terms of evolution and
they can,
you know,
still be kind of hanging out somewhere.
Yeah. Well, and they were found in Southeast Asia. So China, Vietnam, India, like that's near, that's the Himalayas, right? Like the Himalayas are in between India and China. So yeah. So maybe it's, you know, maybe the Yeti is some remnant. I guess my thing though is I don't know if they found anything similar to that in North America. And like those places, like Vietnam, I think is pretty tropical. So we're much warmer.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And like today you find like all your primates tend to live in warmer climates. So I don't know.
Well, and it seems we can cut this out because this may be a stupid question, but it seems to me like, at least based off of I think that podcast, but also some of the reading that I had done, that like it's not like people just saw Gigantopithecus. Like they would know how approximately how big this thing was if they had been seeing it, right? Like it was kind
of, it lived in like Asia and we were still farting around Africa. So yeah. So I don't think we ever crossed paths with it. We just happened to live on Earth at the same time.
So we just assume it's gone.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Like, maybe that's a stupid okay. way to think, but like,
okay. I don't know. No, yeah. So like it was over there and a remnant of that species survived.
I don't know, okay. maybe.
Well,
who knows?
Yeah, that's the thing about Bigfoot is that it's like I said, I don't know what your opinion is, but it's of these things, it's the most likely because there have been creatures / beings very similar to it that we know existed and that we know existed pretty recently. So, yeah.
Yeah, it seems like Bigfoot could exist, though, which we'll get to shortly. The evidence, if that's what you want to call it, is not what's convincing me of it.
Right. Yes. Like the idea that Bigfoot could exist, totally on board for that. Makes sense. I'm on board for considering, you know, this. Yeah. But if you look at the evidence, maybe not. All right. So let's talk about evidence. So I have a list of evidence that I put together that I wanted to address. And first off, I wanted to just sort of briefly mention eyewitness accounts because I think we'd be remiss not to at least rule them out in some way. And my thought is with eyewitness accounts, you basically just set those aside because I think it's very much in the line of people going into a house that they presume is already haunted. And then, of course, they're going to see ghosts or like, you know, all this confirmation bias stuff that we've talked about before. So, and even if people have seen something strange, you and I know from true crime stuff, from all the stuff that we've read for this podcast, eyewitness accounts are just notoriously unreliable. So we can't really consider them on any kind of scientific plane. Yeah. And the other thing about eyewitness accounts is that a lot of these Bigfoot sightings are happening in places where there are bears. So there's like a lot of crossover between Bigfoot hotspots and places where you get bears, like a lot of bears. So I am willing to bet that a lot of what people are seeing, like bears can stand up on their hind legs. So right. I'm willing to put my money. Right. Are just bears that people are seeing, you know, from far away or not a clear vantage point. And it's just a bear that happens to be on its hind legs.
Which like honestly might be scarier than seeing Bigfoot.
Yeah, I'm more worried about that than I am about running into Bigfoot. Anyway, so that's all I have to say about eyewitness accounts because I think we sort of have to set them aside because the only skeptic answer is, or possible, I guess, skeptic answer is they're probably not super reliable. So
so I wanted to talk a little bit about like the sounds or the noises that Bigfoot makes.
Oh, I didn't even look into that at all. So I'm glad that you did.
So apparently, and some of the people who have, you know, claimed to have seen Bigfoot say that that Bigfoot will make these like loud hollering or wailing sounds, some whistling sounds. There's like some screeching involved. There's like a whole list of sounds that Bigfoot could potentially make. And it's basically just like, think of all the sounds you've heard. Those are all the sounds. And like every encounter that somebody claims to have had with Bigfoot suggests one of these sounds, but they're like not consistent among any of the other Bigfoot encounters, really. So, you know, I may say that I heard a whooping or hollering sound, or you would hear a whistling sound. So it's not consistent among the different encounters. There is specifically a video, and it's his name is Ron Moorhead, and I guess he in the early 1970s went into the woods of the Sierra Nevada mountains in California and brought his friend Al Barry along to record some what they're calling Sasquatch Sierra sounds. And I wish I could play the footage or like the sounds for everybody, because it's just like, I don't, it's like whoop, and then some like clicking sound, and then some whistling, and then some more like whoop, whoop. But
yeah, I've totally heard those.
It just sounds like either A, someone's in the background making some weird noise, or like an owl is making a sound, and then maybe, I don't know, some other animal is eating some, I don't know. It certainly doesn't convince me that Bigfoot was there. In part because the sounds, like I said, could just be anything else, but also because apparently anytime there's been sound footage, there's not been any video footage along with it. So it's like a black screen and just the sound that you're hearing. So you don't know where they are, you know, what's going on around them.
Okay. So I will say, so if you're interested in hearing those sounds, I sort of went through a Bigfoot kick a couple years ago, I think. It was when the Wild Thing podcast came out, which is a pretty short listen. It's only 9 episodes and each is a little over 30 minutes long. So if you have the time, I highly recommend it, because it's the best way to describe it is it's sort of like the podcast Serial for Bigfoot. So it's this woman, Laura Krantz, who finds out that she's related to this very famous Bigfoot researcher named Grover Krantz, and she does this whole investigative series looking at it. So she definitely plays some of those noises as part of that. But if you're looking for something a little bit sillier, there is the movie. It's a found footage movie called Willow Creek, which I rewatched this week for funsies. It's not the greatest, but you'll hear like a lot of times people talk about Sasquatch or Bigfoot making knocking sounds and that like hooting sound that you talked about. You hear those. Another recommendation. I told you this was a serious Bigfoot kick. another recommendation is season 1 of the podcast Subject Found. And it is a fictionalized podcast. So it's like more like an audio drama, but season 1 is in this style of like found footage. He's looking for Bigfoot tapes, and it plays, you know, their interpretation of some of these sounds, but you'll hear what Paige is talking about. So that's just me plugging all of those things for a second, because they're all super fun to listen to.
I will say I have not finished. Is it The Wild Thing or just Wild Thing?
Just Wild Thing.
I think I've been saying it wrong, but I have not finished Wild Thing. I tried to get it done in time, but I failed. But it's really good. I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah. It's super great. It's great. Okay. So there's eyewitness accounts. There's people thinking that they hear these characteristic sounds. And yeah, you can hear examples of them on various podcasts or silly horror movies. but the most famous thing when it comes to Bigfoot is basically what we all picture when we picture Bigfoot. It is the still from the Patterson-Gimlin film, which is, it's like, I even know from this week that the still is frame 352. And it's the Bigfoot walking by the creek, you know, that shaky 1960s video footage. And it, you know, turns its head to look back. And that's the image that you see on everything Bigfoot. Like that's really, that film is what threw Bigfoot into the mainstream. So that is a video taken by two men named Bob Gimlin and Roger Patterson, hence why it's called the Patterson-Gimlin film. They took it in 1967 in a place called Bluff Creek, California.
I was just going to say that I just find this video hilarious. So for anybody who's seen it, and I think that you were going to mention this, or you may have already mentioned this, that it's like definitely poor quality and like a really shaky video.
Yeah.
Have you watched videos where they've like stabilized it?
Yes. So I will get to that in a second. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, it's well, okay. Just to reiterate, yes, I agree. It's poor quality. It's shaky video footage. It's notable because it hasn't been proven fake in the 50 plus years since it was filmed. But the fact that it is very shaky and poor quality is sort of what makes it difficult to do any sort of legitimate analysis of it. So people have stabilized it and made it clearer. And it's hilarious because I wrote down that a lot of articles use this stabilized footage or still images, that the stabilization was done by a Reddit user. But their username is Lunar Turd. So it's like all these articles that are like trying to be serious articles considering this, and then they have to credit Lunar Turd on them, which I think is really hilarious. Anyway, I'm super immature. So I don't know. I don't know if I think it's like the silliest video that I've ever seen. Like, I don't know that I look at it and immediately think, oh, that's definitely fake. It's a little bit compelling, at least.
I don't think so? I thought it was until it was stabilized. And then I was like, that's a man in a gorilla suit.
Yeah, like, that is true.
Hands down, that is what's happening here.
Yeah, okay. I can get on board with that. And it's worth noting that these two guys, they traveled specifically to the area to look for Bigfoot. So that sort of takes away from the potential of this being real.
Yeah, like, what are the chances?
Right. Well, and, you know, it's sad because she does an interview with Bob Gimlin. So Roger Patterson passed away, but Bob Gimlin is still alive, or at least he was in 2018 when Wild Thing was recorded. And he does seem like a sweet old man. And he stands by that this was real video footage and that they were totally shocked to have captured it. So, you know, it's hard to tell this sweet old man, like, oh, you're a liar. And I think that's been, you know, a big factor in his life since they released that footage. But yeah, so there's a couple things that people point to. So it hasn't been proven fake. I think a lot of it is because, you know, it's not good enough quality to say for sure what's going on there. But people who believe that it's real footage point to a few things. So first, I guess people get really into the fact that it is a female Bigfoot. So they call her Patty. But she has boobs, I guess, which I didn't really notice that much, but she has boobs that apparently swing around. And so people say, oh, that's, yes.
Swing around.
Well, yeah, they like move back and forth. She has boobs, apparently. And people argue, oh, well, if you were going to do a fake one, why would you put something on there that's harder to fake?
Like, for
fake
exactly boobs. This reason.
Well, exactly. So the other thing, though, is that in terms of costume making, people say, oh, well, Planet of the Apes came out at about the same time. And at that point, it won an Oscar for the makeup. So it was like, it was the cutting edge of film technology, and people argue that it looks way more fake. The costumes in that movie look way more fake than the Patterson Gimlin footage. So basically just arguing, oh, well, we didn't have the technology to do that. But I don't know. That's an argument in a lot of paranormal things. And it's one that's frequently used in the Ancient Aliens series. Where they say, like, oh, there's no way people could have done this. And it's like, well, now you're just being sort of shitty to these ancient civilizations. Like, they could figure shit out for themselves. They didn't need aliens to help them out. Yeah. So I don't know.
Well, then you have the whole, so Philip, the whole Philip Morris thing, who's, I guess, the owner of a more of a costume shop. And he claims to have made the gorilla costume used in the video. So like that complicates things because it's like, well, he could be telling the truth. Potentially, he could also just be looking for a way in the spotlight to get famous. And that's
right.
It.
Yeah. So it's complicated by the fact that there's this guy. Well, so Philip Morris is, a costume manufacturer. He claims that he sold Roger Patterson the suit. There's another guy named Bob Hieronymus who passed a lie detector test on national television claiming that he was the man in the suit. So I don't know. So
we all know how reliable lie detector tests are.
Well, I know. And immediately I said like, oh, well, lie detector tests are, you know, mostly bullshit anyway. So that doesn't really mean that much. But you have people claiming that they were in on the hoax. But then, you have this other side where people say, oh, well, costume technology wasn't that advanced at that point. You can see the musculature moving in correct ways. Like, you know, the skin rippling as the muscles move underneath is something that's pointed out by this guy named Jeffrey Muldrum, who is a professor of anatomy and anthropology at Idaho State University. Although I guess even then, skeptics counter that rippling skin or musculature movement can be done just using a water bag under the suit, which seems like something that people were perfectly capable of doing in the 60s.
No.
No, there were no water bags in the 60s.
That would have been too hard for the people in the 60s.
Yeah. So, I mean, so it's complicated. It's very famous footage. It is like that image, that outline of Patty with her boobs is what everybody puts on Bigfoot stuff. So it's what puts it into like the mainstream lexicon. And people still go, like the whole Willow Creek found footage horror movie is them trying to find or trying to visit the Patterson-Gimlin film site. So it's still pretty famous. And, you know, people like to point to the fact that it can't be proven to be fake. But, yeah, I think it could be a dude in a suit.
I feel like it's maybe a dude in a suit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's tough because if I saw that video today, I wouldn't even give it a second thought. I would think that's a dude in a suit. So I don't know. I don't know if there's something about the fact that it's older and that the, you know, the one guy, Bob Gimlin, seems like sort of a sweetheart that make me more inclined to believe it, but it's unclear. But it's not just that video because they photographed and they made casts of footprints at the site. So, and footprints are another big piece of, I guess, the Bigfoot evidence puzzle.
Arguably like the biggest piece.
Yeah, which of course they are, right? We're looking for an animal that has like Bigfoot big is feet. The name that they call it. And like that's the most common evidence that we have. But yeah, people argue that the Patterson-Gimlin footprints and the others that have been found in China and in the state of Washington. So Patterson-Gimlin footage was taken in California as a reminder. They say that there's this distinctive pressure ridge that comes from you'd have to have a flexible midfoot region in order to push off and get this distinctive pressure ridge that's visible in the footprint. To me, I guess the argument is that, you know, you're not going to, if it's a fake, if it's a hoax, if it's, you know, not a real foot or like piece of wood or whatever, that you're not going to get that flex in the midfoot. But I don't know. Again, it's just one of those things where you're not, unless you see the thing making the footprint, which I guess you do in the Patterson-Gimlin footage, but yeah.
Well, and something that I read is that you think about Bigfoot, you don't picture smooth feet. You picture cracked, gnarly, wrinkled kind of looking feet. And a lot of the, and not all, but a lot of the footprints that have come forth as evidence have been like really smooth footprints.
Oh, like a human footprint.
Yeah. Or even
or just like a big human
footprint. Yeah. Just like a big human footprint where it's kind of missing some of that. I don't know, the correct.
Yeah. Well, the roughness you would, the roughness you would expect from an animal that spent its entire life walking barefoot on rough terrain.
Right.
Yeah. Like if you walked around without shoes in the woods for, you know, even a few months, your feet would look pretty calloused and roughed up. I mean, these guys argue though, like, you know, that you see things like ridges in the skin and stuff that mean that they're more likely to be real. But there have been a ton of cases of people admitting to faking the footprints.
Right. The other thing that I read is that, so it's this article that I read stated that in a primate with a human-like foot, especially an enormously big, heavy one, the toes should consistently splay apart as they do in people who go their lives without shoes. So like in a lot of the footprints, the toes are like still kind of close together and haven't really like spread. They're saying that like Bigfoot's toes would kind of, as you step down, would kind of spread apart from each other. And in a lot of the footprints, you don't see that.
Yeah. Well, it's like everybody, including us, got into the barefoot running thing because it was supposed to be a more natural way to let your feet spread out. And that, yeah. So it's the fact that the Bigfoot footprints look like the shape of feet that have been artificially squished into shoes is potentially telling that someone's modeling them after
what they think it should look like.
Yeah. Okay. I can see it. So, yeah, those are the biggest things, right? That Patterson-Gimlin footage and footprints. And then, yeah, then you get to the evidence that we wish was real but isn't. So there have been plenty of samples of supposed Bigfoot hair that have been sent to labs. And there's no Bigfoot hair. There's no Bigfoot DNA. There's no Bigfoot spit or blood or anything. You know, all the hair that have been sent in has been either bear or it's been people hair or dog hair or just like synthetic fiber that people thought was Bigfoot hair. And for that matter, there's no poop. There's like no other materials that have ever been found from Bigfoot, which is problematic if you're talking about up to 400 pound mammal walking around in the woods.
You would find poop somewhere.
Right.
I think it was on that same podcast where they asked, and I don't remember who it was, they asked somebody about samples they've received, and they're like, oh, I've received a lot of poop samples, and all of the samples have just been bear shit.
Yes. Yeah, I heard one. It's all where bear they said, shit. Yeah. Well, I heard one where he said, we have definitively proved that bears shit in the woods. Isn't that like, that's the adage, right? Does the bear shit in the woods? It's like, yes. Yes, they do. Okay. So I guess I'm gonna skip forward in my notes a little bit, that the big thing that skeptics and I count myself as one of those are gonna need to see in order to believe Bigfoot is a body, right? And like, why have we not seen a body yet? And I guess there's debate. Yeah. Well, okay. So there's the believers in Bigfoot would argue that there's just so few of them. And I think less than about 200 is a number that I've heard thrown around, but that there's just so few of them that we never find their bodies. And the example that they use is like, oh, there are tens of thousands of bears, but when have you ever, like when you've been hiking, when have you ever come across a dead bear that's died of natural causes?
Yeah, that's
so
a good
if
point.
There were, yeah. So like if there were, you know, a couple magnitude or a couple orders of magnitude lower of this other animal, it's potentially feasible that, you know, they're just, they die somewhere and we just never have happened to come across them. But here are the thoughts that I have about that. So first, there are lots of animals out there in the world that we have wiped out almost to extinction, to the point where there are, you know, less than a couple hundred in the wild, but you can still watch nature documentaries that have video footage of them in them. So they find them. Yes. And there are lots of ways to remotely monitor areas. Like, how has there not been a game camera that a hunter has put up that hasn't just like snapped a photo of this? Like one of those cameras that's set to snap when it has a large animal that walks by. Because they catch like bears on there, cougars, all these other animals all the time.
Yeah, you think they'd catch something.
Right. And then the last point that I had about the body, or the fact that, you know, they say there's too few of them to have a body, is that if you're somebody who studies, a scientist who studies mammals, they point out that you can't have, like, if you had so few of them like that, they wouldn't be able to maintain themselves as a species. Like, there wouldn't be a large enough breeding population for them to maintain themselves. And I think, you know, the point is, like, eventually they would have become so inbred that they just would, you know, have died out. So, yeah, so they can't be too rare, or else, if they exist, or else they would die out.
Right. Right. Or they're like about to die out tomorrow.
Right.
Like they're not going to last much longer.
Yeah.
That's kind of the thought I had, was like, if they're that rare and there are that few of them, like how are they still around?
Right. Yeah. And I mean, that's the argument about the other hominids though, is yeah, we may have, you know, mated with some of them and incorporated them into our own family tree or our own evolutionary history, but probably we killed some of them off. Like, we're the ones who survived the competition to become the dominant species, right, of hominid on the planet. So, yeah. And I guess there's a big debate in the Bigfoot community that hinges on sort of Bigfoot preservation. So if they exist, there can't be too many of them, or else we'd see them all the time. But to truly have people believe that it's real, you have to have a body. So there's this divide in the community of people who, if they saw a Bigfoot, would shoot it and kill it in order to get the body and get the proof, or the people who say, oh, you have to preserve it at all costs because it's this like rare creature. So I wanted to ask Paige, which side would you be on? Would you kill one in the name of science and proof, or would you say like, oh, I just couldn't, I can't do it because I don't want to kill this rare species?
I also had this question in my notes to ask you.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
I don't think I could kill him, her, it. I don't think I could kill a Bigfoot.
I don't think I could do the killing, but I think I might be team we need a body. Is that terrible?
I mean, no.
It's sort of terrible. I mean, like, I feel bad, but yeah, if it was me, go ahead.
I don't know. Can I just, like, throw a freaking GoPro on him?
Or is yeah,
GPS
well,
tag
I know.
Him.
At a minimum, I'm team, you got to put some sort of tracking dart on that bad boy.
Right, like, track him, or like I mean, I don't know. How harmful can he be? Let me just go rip some hair out.
Yeah. Or, I'm at a minimum, I'm team, like, shoot him with a tranquilizer dart. And
yeah, I could get down, but I'm not killing Bigfoot. Like, there's just no way. It's not happening.
I
know.
I probably couldn't. I mean, I talk a big game in the name of science, but I probably couldn't do it either. I'm at least team capture Bigfoot. Probably equally almost terrible. Worse. I'm sorry.
So have you read some of the Bigfoot conspiracies, as if like Bigfoot itself isn't already kind of one?
You mean like, is Bigfoot like passing through other dimensions and stuff?
Well, there's several. Like, one of them is that Bigfoot's an alien.
Oh my god. Go ahead.
To your point about like, why don't we have a body? One of the beliefs, I guess, is that, which apparently the modern elephants do this, and I did not know this. People believe that if Sasquatches are real, that they are burying their dead. So they're going and like finding the bodies and burying them. Okay. There's also a conspiracy that the government captured a live Sasquatch in 1999. So like, they may already have one, Megan. You may not have to capture one. there's all kinds of really interesting Bigfoot conspiracies.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I sort of figured a lot of that is like pretty on the fringe, and especially for some of the, I don't know, the more legitimate Bigfoot research organizations. I think those ideas, you know, are a little too conspiracy theory crazy.
Oh, absolutely. But I just thought it was funny that we, you know, we're talking about the, and I, like I said, I didn't know elephants buried their dead.
I knew they had like funerals. I didn't think they actually buried them underground.
Maybe that's what it meant, but it,
yeah,
it made it
but
sound
just
like they
the argument
them.
That they're intelligent enough to potentially do some sort of like burial or service or whatever for them. Yeah, and I guess, you know, I said that I thought it was maybe more likely that they were more closely related to us, or potentially some like offshoot of a Neanderthal or the other guys. I forget. Denisovians?
Yeah.
Yes, Denisovians. But if they're like an offshoot of those, yeah, then maybe they would be intelligent enough. I guess I don't really know anything about Neanderthal funeral services.
Can't say I've looked that up either.
Yeah, but they've found pretty old skeletons in caves and stuff. So, yeah, I mean, maybe they are dragging them into caves and hiding them away somewhere. That's totally plausible, but I'm not buying into any of this, like, oh, Bigfoot, like that Skinwalker Ranch bullshit, like Bigfoot's coming out of portals and
yeah.
That's all that, like, that's what we talked about, like unified theory or whatever, where it's like aliens are pretending to be Bigfoot to fuck with you. No, I'm done with there that. All right. Yeah. Okay. So last thing, evidence wise, is DNA. And I re-listened to most of the episodes of Wild Thing, and I could have sworn that at the end they found some sort of like unknown DNA, but then that was not the case the second listen through. So to test, there are like actual scientists who do real DNA analysis, who have tested samples for Bigfoot DNA, and they have not found any yet. Like, pretty much everything they find is, it's like we said, it's from a bear, it's from people, it's from some other animal. Haven't found primate DNA or unknown primate DNA. But it is really interesting because we have these really sensitive DNA tests now. So they're taking a sample, like it could be dirt, it could be water, it could be, I don't know, a piece of something. taking something that contains genetic material. They're using chemicals to, and this is like the very, very layman's way of describing this, but they're using chemicals to break open the cells, spill out the DNA. 99% of it is going to be, if it's like a soil sample, for example, is going to be DNA from bacteria and other sources. So they have to figure out a way to filter that out. So I think a lot of it is done by these very fancy computer programs. So what they're looking at is just a very small fraction, like 1% of the DNA in these samples that they're getting, and then comparing it to a known database. So in this way, like they've been able to, for example, look at dirt on the floor of caves and identify fragments of Neanderthal DNA, which is super awesome. So the science is there. Like if you found a sample of, you know, somewhere where Bigfoot had been, right? Had like shed some skin cells or peed on it or sneezed on it or whatever, like you could potentially find Bigfoot DNA. But the long story short, they have not. So and what they're comparing it to is like, so I guess people are about 0.1%, like you and I would be about 0.1% different from each other. So a tenth of a percent different from each other when it comes to our DNA. And a person versus like a chimpanzee would be a little over 1% different. So pretty close. So yeah. So I guess the argument is Bigfoot is somewhere in between, or maybe closer to the chimpanzee, maybe closer to other primates, which are a little bit further away from us. And I guess that, I mean, it's really cool that these tests are sensitive enough to see this and that they're working with such small amounts. But I guess I have trouble with it because I think for the longest time, hearing about like crimes and stuff like that, you think like, oh, DNA is the end all be all of evidence. And there are problems with DNA evidence when it comes to like identifying people at a crime scene. So even if they were to identify what they thought was like an unknown primate from one of these locations, like I would be so skeptical because it could be like, it just depends on how degraded it is. They're trying to compare it to real known sequences, but they're just looking at fragments. Like, yeah, I guess I would wonder what the confidence interval or whatever would be for.
Yeah, I feel like even with some DNA evidence, I would still need a body.
Exactly. I know. Which is, yeah, that's what you always come back to is like, sorry, you have the DNA, you have this unknown primate. Like, man, at least a pile of shit, you know?
Right. giant freaking bone. I could almost get there.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I know. And she sort of, it's, yeah, we keep coming back to Wild Thing, but it's so good, you guys. but at the end, you know, she sort of waxes poetic about, you know, maybe we sort of romanticize this idea of Bigfoot, or we want Bigfoot to exist because we know that we've, you know, done so much damage and pushed so much of our natural world, like to the absolute limit. So it's like this sort of romantic idea, like, oh, this like one unknown distant relative of us like could have survived somewhere, like this is what would have happened if we wouldn't have gone down the road of technology or whatever. But yeah, it's something.
It's complicated. We need a body.
it's complicated. And I definitely don't feel like, you guys can probably tell that this episode is not as snarky as we normally are, because these are, it's like I said, I think there's, this is one of the ones that I find the most plausible when it comes to like paranormal or unusual things that we could talk about.
I want Bigfoot to be real. I do.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. But I mean, I could say the same thing about ghosts. So
that's fair.
Or aliens. Actually, no. Aliens, we already talked about. Aliens are real. They're just not on fucking Skinwalker Ranch.
And they didn't put Bigfoot here.
And they did not put Bigfoot here. And if they did, then, you know, you gotta show me a body. Yeah. So that's about all I had to say about the Bigfoot evidence that's out there. I think, as with all things, there's some compelling stuff out there, but it's problematic in a way that a lot of the stuff that we talk about in like the paranormal world is, you know?
I know. But now we've got the short and spooky.
Oh, okay. So we finally came up with a name. Okay, so we're done with Bigfoot. And we finally came up with a name for our short segment at the end, which we have not figured out or had not figured out up until this point. So rather than short and sweet, we're going to do short and spooky at the end. So if you have been paying attention to the cryptid news, I thought this was very appropriate for this week's episode. But there was a thing that started circulating on Facebook and then other social media that it was a picture, a supposed picture of the Loch Ness Monster. And it was a photo that was posted in a Facebook group by a guy who claimed that he had taken it in September of 2019. And of course, people were immediately saying, holy shit, it's 2020. Like, nothing even shocks me anymore. Like, of course, there's a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. Of course. Like, we've already done aliens. We've already got global pandemic. It's fine.
This is the next thing on the list.
This is the next thing. Yeah, like this, who bet on this? Because they're gonna win some money. So turns out though that this guy who shared it, his job is that he's a 3D artist. So I think he does some sort of computer animation stuff. And yeah, it's a fucking Photoshopped fish, you guys. And specifically, it is a Wells catfish.
I was going to say, it's a catfish.
Yes. Like, it's from a specific photo of a fish that was caught in Italy. And because they were able to, like, match the little spotted pattern on it to the image that this guy posted. And it looks, I mean, it looks exactly like. It is. It's like a fingerprint.
It's a fucking
right?
fish.
Like, it's the fish. Yeah. And to be fair, the fish itself weighs in the neighborhood of 300 pounds, which is terrifying. Because I don't want to think about 300 pound fish anywhere near me. Yeah. And if you look at the photo that this guy shared, it's like, come on. It's so clearly Photoshopped and people sort of ran away with it. But now, because I have shared this and because people sort of immediately fell for it, it is time for Megan's PSA story time. So this is your biweekly reminder. Because of the current world situation that we are in, first, that Black Lives Matter, but second, just to think critically about what you're seeing online. And it is especially true in the US right now because people are turning to politicians and TV personalities for healthcare advice rather than listening to doctors and scientists. So the Loch Ness Monster sighting, which is very obviously a fake photoshopped photo, is a good example of why you need to do your research and pay attention to the experts who know what the fuck they're talking about and wear your mask.
Wear your damn mask, people.
Yes. So to give you guys some background on this, when I was up at Bigfoot Beach State Park, we were able to stay socially distanced in the little picnic area that we were in. But there were a lot of idiots with no masks. Just, yeah, it was not pretty. You wouldn't have even known that anything was happening out there in the world. But yeah. Anyway, you ready to wrap it up, Paige?
Yes, but before we do, we recently recorded an episode yes. with our friends at Insanely Haunted. If you like the show Ghost Adventures, they...
Or if you like making fun of the show Ghost Adventures. Right.
So if you do or don't like the show Ghost Adventures, they pick an episode every week and they basically just shit talk it. So we, like I said, did an episode with them. Go check them out if you want to listen to the episode we did with them. It is episode 105 Bannock Ghost Town. So go ahead and listen. It's a great show.
Yeah. Their podcast is super funny. It was really fun to record with them, and we hope that we'll be able to have them as guests on here sometime soon.
All right. Well, that wraps up episode 6 on Bigfoot. Tune in next time for our discussion on ghost hunting equipment. We'll do a part 2. If you like this episode, hit subscribe and share with a friend. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Spooky SciPod, Facebook at Spooky Science Sisters, and at our website at SpookyScienceSisters.com. If you have any questions about previous topics or ideas for future episodes, email us at SpookyScienceSisters@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Stay spooky. Wear your damn mask.